You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists from all over the world. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. Please search for Fakeologist Audio Chat and Fakeologist Main Show on your favorite podcast app. To listen to the live stream, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. Now, on with the audio chat.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Fakeologist, or Paolo Malo, or whatever his name is. No, I'm not Paolo Malo. It's Friday, November 23rd, 2018. I have Maddie from Germany, or somewhere around there, in the audio chat. Maddie and I are testing out his
audio
settings. He's made some adjustments, and he wants to know if they work.
Yes, so I'm going to talk now to see if they work and see how loud they are or how distorted they are. And this is like test one, minus 20 dB. So I'm hoping that
works. Why don't you just, that's a great idea. Just keep changing your numbers, and then when we just read them out, and then when we go back to the play it back later, you can figure out which one worked.
Yeah. What I can also do is, I think that's a volume, but that's, I can turn this up slightly as well, but now it's already gone, maybe slightly, now I've turned up the microphone itself. Can it go any louder? Now it's all full. So it's the output, and then turn the input up a little bit more. But I hope that'll be okay. So that's full. So I've turned it up a little bit more than it was before. And if, I don't know if that's distorting or not, but everything looks pretty good.
Just do a test one, test two.
Test one, test two, test one, test two. That's very loud. That's not quite so loud. This is down 11 o'clock now, 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock's probably too quiet, even though. It's 10 o'clock,
you're very quiet.
11 o'clock, I go, it's 12 o'clock, probably perfect. Right, and that would be great. When, you could, when you've got it, you can tell
me. Play your music, too.
The music is the music. Sorry?
That sounds like the same level as your voice.
Hey, good. Right.
But you felt you found the right decibel?
I think so. Yeah, I think so, yeah. I've got to play with this cable sometimes. Okay. I hope so, yeah. I hope that's right. And
okay.
I'll leave it at that now, and you can tell me if it's okay, if it's okay.
All right, that's good. Do you have any audio you want to play and comment on? We can do that if you'd like, a little bit.
I wasn't thinking I'd prepared anything like that or thought anything about that. Messing about with the technical side of it, right? This is great to help with that. Let's just sort of see if this, so I can get this mic working. And a feed in so that we can play other. And now I can think about what I might do or what we might do or whatever the next time it's, comes along.
All right. Sounds great.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a proper interview.
Yeah.
Get back to the
when you've got
studio.
Some time. Yeah.
It'll have to be the weekend sometime, I suppose.
Yeah. So it's the easiest for you, isn't it?
Yeah. Probably a Sunday. I can find some days. I should have some time over the Christmas period.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Actually, this is my trough, if you like. This is my bit of a slow go time, and then before Christmas, it's nice. It starts to pick up again.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What line of work are you in? Musician or?
Yeah. There's always like as music. There's always a bit of a problem. Christmas is always a run up, and there's a few gigs in Christmas. I try not to do anything outside.
All right. Are you booked for New Year's?
No, I don't do those either. Not since I had a family. I don't do Christmas or New Year's.
Isn't that a big time for musicians? New Year's?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can often earn, you know, you earn double, sometimes more than that when people want you on New Year's. But, you know, as soon as when they've got a family, maybe when the kids were really small, I did it sometimes when if we needed the money. But, no, it was, I don't do it anymore. I'd rather be at home.
No, I don't blame you. That's why there's such a premium. Nobody wants to do it.
Yeah, young people do it. They need money and are free and don't care. So I did it when I was young. And then in January, there's suddenly, I don't know, there's quite a lot going on. And the folk band I play for, we've got to record a new CD. So basically, this is my time. I thought, well, this is a good time to get involved in this a little bit. We've got a bit of time now because it won't be not in January or February, I don't think. And then the season starts, and then I'm also, you know, traveling around quite a lot in the summer.
Oh, yeah, is the summer season quite busy?
Yeah, it's all because of these folk markets, these medieval markets. So basically starts in April. This year it started in March. We've got, but it starts in April usually, and they're everywhere. They're all over the place. It's amazing. So, and then, you know, basically we're in our band, we've got like seven of us. And sometimes we play as a quintet, five, but usually four of us. And that way we can all sort of move around a bit and everyone gets a holiday. Because there are two people who live from it and the rest of us all have other jobs. You know, I don't want to just do that. So, and it works really well. It's really good. So I do about 35 gigs a year with them. It's not the gigging that's hard, it's the traveling, you know.
And just waiting, I suppose.
I always say that. You get paid for the waiting around. You get paid for the pauses, basically. That's what you get paid for. Music, I'd do that for nothing. It's getting me there and then making me hang around. And yeah, that's what you get. That's what you pay me for.
Well, at the top of the hour here.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
You've always been into tech then. How did you get put this platform together the way you put it together? How did that come together? Just not by design, more a case by trial and error, or?
Well, I looked into it, and I got some tips from Brian Stavely, because I noticed he wasn't really using any particular platform.
Yeah.
We were looking at TalkShoe for a while.
Yeah.
But their service is not good quality, in my mind. So I wanted something a little better. So then I noticed he was using his own type of setup. And I observed some of his software and found other software that was similar to what he was using. And so I used mostly free software that I cobbled together.
Did he put you onto Discord then, or no? It was Phil Banks.
No. This I set this server up. This is already 6 years old now. Hasn't really changed his software. Plus, he uses YouTube more than anything now.
Yeah.
But I found Discord by O'Hallahan, another great guy. Yeah, I haven't seen him around lately. Fantastic.
No, I don't know who he is. This is also
mentioned Discord. Mentioned Discord.
Okay.
And I never heard of it before. And he set me up to it.
Interesting.
I've been using it ever since.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess is the word ironic? Not really. I think that's the wrong word, but
I know what you mean.
It's not ironic.
There should be a word for it. Maybe there isn't one. It's I don't know. It's like calling your band name, calling yourself "Don't Talk to Me" or something like that.
Yeah. Anyway, so he set me onto this, and then I hooked it up. I was using TeamSpeak before, which isn't quite as developed, and people had a hard time with the settings, so they couldn't get in. Therefore, they weren't using it.
Yeah.
So so I dropped that. Well, I still have it there, but I don't use it right now. I don't need it.
Mm.
And we dropped that a bit. Sort of there as a backup in case Discord blows up on us, which it might,
yeah, right.
You know.
Yeah.
They take it away from us. Could easily do that.
Yeah, definitely. Especially
they decide this is an inappropriate or hate speech.
Yeah.
That could happen. I can see that happening easily. We have TeamSpeak. You have your own server that's not on their computer.
Uh-huh. Not like here. No, I see. Yeah.
Discord is on their server, wherever their servers are living. They're probably on the Amazon or Google farm, quite possibly.
Yeah.
Those guys own most of the network, most of the background storage infrastructure. I think even Talkshoe switched to Amazon's.
Okay.
Amazon's. They're on Amazon's cloud, just like the CIA is on Amazon's cloud. And everyone says that means that the CIA owns Amazon and all that, which I don't agree with. But I can see how people will make the association. People are simple. Simple-minded.
I mean, didn't they take the Hoaxbuster stuff down from TalkShoe? Wasn't that what happened with TalkShoe? You know, I know it's quite.
Well, TalkShoe actually, I don't know. They must have their own servers, and they migrated to Amazon. So I suppose the migration, they just purged instead of moving everyone. They probably just purged the unused servers. I guess.
Yeah. Possibly.
Or the unused programs. I don't think it was anything nefarious.
I mean, that's how I ended up here, because I was listening to Hoaxbusters, and then when everything sort of went pear-shaped there, and then John Adams came here, so I was like sort of, oh, where's John Adams? And there was some link or something, kind of, John Adams here, you know, clicked, and that's how I got to Fakeologist. And I'd only been there, only been there once before, and that's like, did I say that to you at the time? At the first, because I clicked on an interview, you know, where you're doing the interview, and if you're not, you're not used to it. I didn't know about this. So I click on it, and it sounded like you were fact checking. You're saying, right. So what do you think about 9/11? Okay, do you believe there were planes? Tick. You know, whether it's like all these questions. You know, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? And like you were kind of, just correlating the evidence here. That sounds scary. So I kind of left it. Because, when you're in that mindset, you think, well, what's going on here? And it's funny that since the meltdown,
just
funny
give me,
enough.
Just give me one second.
My God, that seems.
Hello, can you hear me?
Can.
Yes.
Nice and clear.
Everything's fine.
Good, good.
Good, good.
Yes, good
okay.
evening.
Yes, good evening. Yes, we said that we are going to talk about a question that you addressed at me, which was concerning my last audio that I did yesterday, or whatever, audio chat that I did yesterday. But let's just a little bit recapitulate and introduce to others also who maybe are new, you know. We have a responsibility if we are in the live stream. Would you like to do that?
No, you got. I'm just eating some toast.
You are eating toast, British toast, or Hawaii toast?
British toast, I suppose. Yes.
English toast.
White bread, some white cut loaf. It's a nice loaf. It's a.
Oh. Well, I wish you bon appetit, and I do in that case the introduction.
Thank you.
So let me go back to the question. It was a private message that we and a little exchange that we had. So that I can remember also the other topics that are connected to that. Also, you.
It was regarding the voice. A voice morphing question. Poor Johnny's.
Yeah. Okay. No, I got it. I got a little red string. Oh, what's the name in English? You know, like Ariadne. Who went with in this cave with Minotaur in the Minoan epoch on Crete, and she wanted to come back out, and she took with her a wool piece of string or whatever. And so she had the way back and could go back. She had to become a sacrifice for the gods. It's an ancient idea with these sacrifices and with human sacrifice also. I don't know. That's another big topic and interesting also. So I now remember what it is all about. It's all about the idea. I think I have to expand it a little bit. There was a debate about Psioptikon many years ago, who maybe he used a voice-changing thing on audio chat. And this rose big discussions about if he is an agent or if he's not an agent. And it was a very polarized discussion, which as I understood it from the comment of Johnny Clues on the website, fakeologist.com, he actually believes that, he actually sees it within this frame, that either you are a shill, that means a paid operator of intelligence agencies, or you are a genuine researcher who whatever researches or just does research. There are only two possibilities, and I think that this is not right as a frame. It is a polarized and dangerous, actually, interpretation. It's very black and white. It does not help find anything out. It does not, for example, it does not tell us what. I don't want actually to go into that discussion with Psioptikon because I was not here. I have no idea. And I listened into some of these discussions, and they were really very troubling. So there are other participants, Terran Downwhale and Unreal, who, as I understand it, felt a little bit mocked because they actually, what they say is, voice morphing is a reality, or voice changing is a reality. And then they, at least Unreal, became so excessive, let's say, and tried really to prove cases, which is also impossible. It's only possible to have hypotheses, not conclusive evidence in that field. But this has also polarized a little bit, the whole stuff. And with what I did yesterday, I wanted to state actually publicly and with an example that it is just very simple to change your voice and to change it live. You can change it all the time. You can start speaking as a man and then continue as a woman and then continue as a child and have it, that's all possible. But it is a polarized discussion if we try to interpret possible threats, let's say, generally, which are mostly associated with controlled opposition, with that template that is titled controlled opposition, which is also antique in my understanding. It might be useful to interpret the first 4 years of after the 9/11 cyber, but maybe it's not today. I don't know. This was just an introduction. It was maybe not really enlightening for most of you, and I tried only to point what are the parameters of this discussion and how could we improve the discussion of, for example, out of many actually reasons. One would be to avoid supporting things, statements or discussion forms or whatever that could lead maybe other people here, newcomers or younger people that are very affine actually to psychological, let's say, stress, so that we can protect ourselves and others from paranoid discussions and from things that do not lead to any good solution and to any improvement of the research. That would be one of the aims which I have, or I would propose to discuss. And the other one is, and that's, I think, a much bigger topic, and actually also a more interesting topic, that would be, this is a surrounding that was constituted around the topic of 9/11 and September Clues. It is supportive of specific ideas or interpretations of that PSYOP of 2001, which is a very important element of our history. In vivo, we are alive, we are not dead, and we are living. It's not the First World War, it's now, it's still now, so it's very important. This platform was constituted around this, and there are questions about, first of all, the whole research that is being done and why it continues in this field. What is the position, actually, of the September clues within 9/11 quote-unquote truth movement and quote-unquote controlled opposition? What is the position of fakeologist.com as a platform in the truth movement and the controlled opposition, or again in quote? So that would be interesting, because from this point serious discussions can erupt, and funny discussions can also erupt, and they would be less, I believe, of the type Tom is a shill, Faye is a shill, or...
Yes. Well, you've got a lot of about there and what you said, but let's think about how does psychologists, does it fit into September clues and the state of 9/11 research? September clues fit in the alternative view that we have. Yeah, I mean, when I first came to this site, I came because of September clues, really, because of Simon Shack, and I was a massive fan, proper fan, and I read it every day. I read Simon, and you know, I loved reading Simon and then Hoy's stuff. But research, I really appreciated the sort of everybody's input in it, in a sense. I've got a broad education from reading that every day, and it got some of my best insight from some of the just small comments from someone that hardly ever commented on there sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
It was fascinating. So I thought at that point, I was a fanboy a bit, you know, point. And I loved the way Simon wrote, and his patience and everything, I was used to say, and it took me, you know, it took me to it. It's
passionate guy.
Yeah.
To him in our
last, you know, is it controlled opposition? Where do they stand?
Is he controlled opposition? You don't, now you're already in the direct SU with your
comment. Oh, now I've got you.
You are already in this dichotomy. It's not about finding out anyone if it is controlled opposition or not. Let's take which I invent right now because I didn't think about it. Limited truth. Limited truth. Anybody of us is able to produce some things, and nobody is able to produce the whole analysis of 9/11. Simon Shack has contributed a big which enabled understanding of the whole concept of the 9/11, but that is it. It is limited, so it has to continue. It is not about finding out if he is controlled or not. We cannot prove it. So it's a stupid question.
I thought you said where would September clues fit in a controlled opposition?
No, misunderstanding.
No. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. That's quite a big misunderstanding, really. Yeah, okay. The understanding of 9/11, oh, I still haven't got it. For me, it's just like, but calcified lies has always said that it's like a magic trick. And you don't have to know how they did the magic trick. Just the fact you know they did it.
I'm always interrupting you. Sorry. Please go.
Well, the victims still is open to question for me. When at first I thought at one time that, oh yeah, they're all victims, they're all made up, thin air, lots of them, lots and lots and lots of them. But I think there's a lot of real people involved, simulated victim in the simulated victims, so to speak. But September Clues has all the answers there. But I mean, Sims is a great idea, makes a lot of sense, but. Felix calls the Vixen report the biggest piece of misdirection out there.
Yes, I have seen that. But this would mean, just a minute to mention that now, because I want to make clear my own, let's say, theoretical approach to the thing. When Felix says this is a misdirection, he actually attributes an intention of those who produced the Vixen report. So, by attributing the intention that would be, let's take it concretely, Hoiberloy and Simon Schack produced the Vixen report in order to conceal some truth and to direct in a false direction. But if we do that, we miss the whole importance of the Vixen report, which is that it states actually as a whole, and this was a very important piece of the truth, quote-unquote, truth movement and, quote-unquote, controlled opposition, the evolution of those two concepts, that with the Vixen report it was stated for the first time as a whole that in this PSYOP, as actually in all PSYOPs, there are no victims. Nobody died. Nobody got hurt, to mention on MJ. That is important if in the polarized discussion about the, let's say, recovered or discovered or conceptualized elements of analysis about this PSYOP, if you call it misdirection, you miss the point of it. You miss the improvement. You miss the positive revelation that was done. And where are you going to research afterwards? So I don't know. If we would take now the hypothesis that controlled opposition is a meaningful pattern to explain things, then in this concrete polarized statements, we would not be able to say who of the two is the controlled opposition. Is it the Vixen report or is it Xylophilex? Because he opens the realm to take us into deciding of two positions. And that is always wrong, because truth does not have two positions. Truth is very complex. So for me, the better question is, what can I take out of the Vixen report, and where can I continue with research about it?
Yeah, I think this is as sound in general to go forward in learning and understanding and how one should approach things, really. But there comes a point where one can understand that something is put there to confuse or to obfuscate or something, or to mislead, and therefore, you know, there's always positives in many things that we can take from it. But this field of work, if this is a major act of disinformation, so to speak, you know, then it's notable to have at least noted it, surely, you know, a deliberate act of obfuscation or confusion on an issue. To make note of that would only be expected, wouldn't it?
How will you prove that? How will you come to that conclusion, to say it better?
I suppose what you could do is look at the evidence and say all this does is mislead the reader to a certain place. Whether it's deliberate or not, I don't know, but that is what this looks like, sort of. Okay. But that's what I would.
Do you have such opinion? Personally, such a position in this matter with the Vixen report?
What do I think about the Vixen report? I always thought it was weird. I didn't trust it at all. I thought it was a load of like potential, all these numbers and everything, algorithms or whatever. It's all, you know, computer generated names, I think.
Magic, Tom. It's a technology you don't know. It's magic.
Well.
It's not the fault of the one who writes it that you don't understand the language.
No, I didn't say I didn't understand anything yet. I'm trying to give you what I thought of it, my first impression of it. It's interesting. I don't know. As I say, I mean, I don't know the sort of algorithms or whatever, how that would exactly work, but I can see it made some sort of sense. But I don't trust that everyone in there is just completely made up. I don't. I mean, if Felix says that he questions it, then I'll go along with that. I've done hours and hours of research with Felix on various victims of PSYOPs and things. And if he's saying, look, this is one of those people that seems to have a real profile.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
And if I may interject or whatever, is it right, interject?
Yes, just carry on.
Sorry for my intensity, but I was researching something previously and I was very interested in that also. So, yeah, I'm a little bit excited. Look,
no, it's one of my favorite states of being.
Yeah, you're older, we become. Excitement is a rare thing, I think. Maybe it's that. Yeah. Okay, I'm going.
Well, you seem to get excitement for this research and everything, which is great. You know, it's.
I am really interested in answering some questions, but I am still not even able to find out my questions. You know, because this story is so complex. It is actually historical research. You know, if you want to be, let's say, an expert in the Second World War, quote-unquote, as a fakeologist, it takes you maybe 10 years to go through the material, you know, to understand all the things.
Yeah.
Of course, in specific cases, we have an approach, but this does not. There is nobody researching this stuff outside of fakeologists and the surroundings here that are quite similar. So, I have not even been able to put some good questions, you know, in regards to this topic. And that's why I'm so fascinated about it, because I still today have a very ambiguous approach. Sometimes, for example, I am absolutely sure the whole stuff was just in the media. Other times, as I was right before researching, I had the hypothesis that some of the scenes were really on the ground, and if this could be proven, I'm not sure even if it's a good question, but I'm just now imagining the consequences of such an hypothesis. This would mean that we could have, for example, the possibility to interpret the images from the ground in some specific cases, and to see how is the cloud to compare it with the other ones, you know, or where are the editing, where are the cuts, where are the, it has not been analyzed. It's just really very general, this statement that September Clues makes, and I'm happy that it's there, but it's not the end, it's just the beginning.
I mean, 2007, you said, and it's 11 years later. You know, where's the cutting edge new film which says, yes, we know September, you know, which takes from September Clues and goes forward? Yeah, it's not there anymore, is it?
I think nothing has been produced after the Vixen report.
There was a bunch of them around that time, you know, that came out at the start of internet streaming, which were always going to be compelling, you know, Loose Change.
That was earlier.
9/11.
2005, I think.
9/11 Mysteries.
The second edition was 2007 or 8.
Yeah, there was one called 9/11 Mysteries, which...
Haven't seen that.
Same but sort of
actually,
TV.
I wanted to say about the Vixen Report, because we were talking about this controversy between Xylophilex and... as I followed it, I'm not really guaranteeing that...
I'm not sure...
Well, correct in any case. I'm able to correct myself if I'm pointed to the correct information, but I think it was between Xylophilex and Simon on fakeologist.com. But the whole thing is about Simon thinking that Xylophilex thinks that the Vixen report says that all the Vixens were absolutely simulated entities, that they do not have any real names or real people or part of information from real people, and that is wrong. Xylophilex does not believe that, and Xylophilex, on the other hand, believes that the Vixen report is stating that, you know, it's a misunderstanding of what the Vixen report says. The Vixen report, have you read it, Tom? You have read it, as you said.
Well, I mean, is reading it the correct term? Because it, sorry.
Yeah, going through. Yeah, it's the.
I have put myself through that, and as I was doing it, I was thinking like I used to think with. It's a little bit like it was something that I didn't understand exactly, and so I scanned over it and went back again. And went, I've read it several times, gone through it, scanned over it. Yes, I have. I think it's pretty simple. Felix needs to just take someone that someone is claiming is a complete sim and put flesh and blood to them, in his opinion. And then they can compare. I'm not sure it's too much of a controversy, but I know Simon Chapp was a fan of Felix and I, some of our research in sort of time gone by. And it's a shame in a way. Felix is, you know, there's this sort of discord.
Yeah.
I think there is a definite question about the true nature of the victims, and Felix is actually having trouble finding any completely simulated completely simulated, made up entities. You know, sims as I'd call them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so that's quite an interesting.
As far as I understand this story with the Vixen report. The Vixen report, I'm telling it very short, and as I said, I'm able to correct myself if I'm pointed to the correct information or be enlightened by others. As far as I understood it, the Vixen report, in a whole, it states that these persons that are allegedly victims, that means that this person that allegedly died in the towers, in the planes, in Pentagon or whatever, in the places that are related to the SIOP, that these victims are not real victims. They are just made up. And what Poipoloi researched, I think out of his qualification in software stuff and programming, he noticed some elements of the first CNN memorial that was published soon after 9/11. He noticed some similarities and researched the software parameters out of which this data document was created. I understand that is obviously the field that most of us who are not experts in software and programming cannot follow. Okay, but as he states it, it makes sense to me that he is saying these data series was produced in that and that way. He analyzes it over several pages, but he doesn't say at any moment in this Vixen report that the information that was fed into this program and into this work to create that alleged victims list, that this information was false or not real or completely invented. That's not the case. So the Vixen report does not state all the victims, the alleged victims, did not exist as persons or as groups of information. Maybe someone has his name given there. I think I read somewhere in the Clues Forum commentary a later statement of Poipoloi about that a simulated victim for him means a set of information which is attributed to an entity that has allegedly been a victim of 9/11. It doesn't state if this information is real or not. And that is a big misunderstanding in my eyes, which has actually hindered the research.
Yeah, the sort of, there's been talk about the exact definition of years. Yeah, right. And Felix has always had an issue with it. I talked about it before, and it's a mixture, as far as I could tell. You know, that it's the idea of the simulated completely simulated victim made out of thin air is brilliant, and it's, you know, a paradigm shift for me. And I thought, oh yeah, obviously that could be done. But en masse, you know,
it
as well, probably.
Would it be meaningful?
But without doubt, there's a need for you know, and there is real sort of flesh and blood sort of entities, people with names to them that obviously do as a psyops as well. That's an essential part of them, it seems, you know. I would say it's done in, and then there's going to be kind of agents in place, long con agents, I think, as well, who would be in place for psyops, you know. It's a these projects.
Barbara Olson. I read it somewhere. It's not my idea. I read it somewhere that she was, let's say, conceptualized long before. Of course, long before the whole psyop was conceptualized long before. We don't know exactly when. That she would be such an entity that was presented as a media person long before it happened, so that she can disappear after the event.
Yeah, I mean, yes, yeah, absolutely. Long con. Yeah, so the psyop victims, yes, when the term sim, I'm not sure that is clear to me what that means.
Yes, that's a problem, I think, yeah. To everyone, it's problematic because these terms are new. They are generated out of the new technologies that exist. And a similar problem is with this CGI stuff. I call also everything that is fake as an image, Call of Duty or, I don't know, or Lord of the Rings. There are many scenes that are made with this technology, with some kind of technology. I don't know exactly what kind. And if I have to call it somehow, I call it CGI. That means computer-generated imagery. That means these images are not taken with photographic techniques. They are not a representation one-to-one of the technique of a photo camera, which has concrete parameters technologically, but they are manipulated through digital technology. And that's a really big field, you know. Manipulation is also if you change in the Photoshop, if you change an image, if you change the lightning or if you change the contrast, yeah, or something, that's also manipulate. You would not say that's CGI. CGI is, yeah.
There was a motor crash the other day, actually, it was Formula 3 or something, and a girl, a lady driver, and she just is flying through the air. Yeah, and it just looked weird to me.
You saw it with your own eyes?
My own Facebook feed, I think. Oh. I'm talking about CGI. I thought, dagnab it, I can't help but think that did look like CGI. It looked, yeah, the speed of it was a bit weird, but maybe that's just my imagination.
Yeah.
And look peculiar. But yeah, the CGI field is, you're talking about there, as in.
I'm comparing the CGI topic, discussion of the topic, with the simulation or simulated victims topic. And it is a matter of definition and understanding. And it needs differentiation, which an average person does not have. An average person who sees Lord of the Rings does only... The maximum they know to say is that CGI, but they don't know how it is done, the exact technology that is used, which programs and which whatever, and which parts are real, which parts are not. And there are also completely simulated things, as it is in the games, for example.
Yes.
Let's take Call of Duty, one of the most played games worldwide. There is nothing real there. That's all simulated. So simulation means something is in some part simulated. From 1% to 100%, it can be simulated, but you don't know exactly what it is, what technology it is.
Sure.
So I have never talked to Hoi Polloi. I don't know if he maybe in the beginning thought... In the Vixen report, I didn't see this, but maybe he thought all were really completely simulated. But what I read of him and the interviews that he gave about the Vixen report, I haven't heard that he was stating such a thing. So it does, in my understanding, it does not contradict what Xylophilex is saying. It does not contradict the research of Antipodean about, I don't remember the name, something with E.
Yeah, Antipodean or some other researcher?
Antipodean, you don't know him?
Some
researcher. I have never talked to him. I know only that he's here and I read his material as good as I can. And he has researched about the Australian, if I'm right. I call them now victims, because they are fictitious victims. They are not real victims. They did not die. So fictitious victims means just alleged victims. We can also
say victim. Victim is good, isn't it?
Victim is good, I think, yeah.
It's better, probably better than sin. It's just your victim. That's a good all round expression. So, yeah, Antipodean. Yeah, he's a long time member at Clues, and he's come over here as well. But I think he didn't. There were some things that tested his belief that we were talking about here.
Yeah,
like the Munich air crash. You know that football one from 1958, Manchester United.
That was real. Yeah.
I think people come and go, but he's been around a long time, so.
He has not gone, he's here. I've seen his avatar lately.
Yeah, cool.
I don't think he's gone.
No, not so much that. No, he's around. I just hadn't seen him post anything for months.
I looked into that Munich air crash with that football team. I don't remember now the exact parameters. But I did not have the impression that it was real. I had the impression that it was very, very, very fake. But as it is in all psyops, the possibility to prove the material thing are very restricted. You have no access to something real, you know. So you have to interpret images out of the media or the narrative or whatever. And
oh, yes, absolutely. Well, I've been looking at it, and there's a couple of interesting things. Was the to the day, exactly a year to the day before the accident, the Manchester United players were flying back from somewhere and on a plane from a European game.
Yeah.
And were pictured sweeping the ice and snow off their with brushes in their hands in front of the plane, because that's what they did. Exactly a year to the day that of their looked very much like foreshadowing that did. And it was the way the whole thing was played out, yeah. To die was Duncan Edwards. He died, and he was the 22nd player to die. Perfect for the football.
Yeah.
Two 11s on the pitch, you know, for that Masonic master number, 22. But,
I remember.
And he died on the 21st of February. But then, you know, the news came out the next day in the papers. 22nd of the 2nd died.
Yeah.
It all looked a bit neat with the numbers, but that they were used for sort of social engineering, that team, because it was kind of the decade of the teenager. I don't know if I said this before on...
Was it 52? Or
58.
58, yeah.
Yeah, the Queen ascended the throne in 52. So Manchester United were really a team that was...
You know always everything about the Queen.
I know about it because I study it, because I'm interested in it. Our power structure and things that go on, the military does it in the name of the Queen, don't they?
Yes.
They always, you know, that's part of the... It's very much still part of the power structure in England, you know.
Even the Sex Pistols protects the Queen.
they even did a tribute to her, didn't they? God save the Queen!
Yes, yes.
That's a backhand.
I liked them when I was young.
But yeah, great. Anarchy.
Anarchy to the UK was the LP, I think.
Yeah. Yes, you liked that, did you?
I liked some elements of that culture or style or whatever. It was engineered, of course. I mean, first comes the industry, then comes the distribution, and then comes the movement, and not the opposite. It's the same as the techno culture or most of these postmodern, after the Second World War, let's say, are constructed. And I liked some elements of the aesthetics that they had. I don't mean the hairstyles, you know, specifically or something. I liked the freedom in that style. I think this this English woman, the very famous mode fashion designer.
Yes, Vivienne Westwood.
Yeah, Vivienne Westwood. Yeah, the she's part of the elite, that's sure, and she's working for them, that's not a question. But I like some of her elements of, you know, there are elements of breaking the rules.
Yes.
In I order to... Yeah, I liked it when I was young, of course.
He was into this sort of radical European, I think it was French movement, the Situationist kind of anarchist groups that were, yes, they bringing down barriers was the way forward almost. It was the and that's kind of like, yeah, that was kind of what was used with the Sex Pistols. It has its own yeah, I'd still like it in a way. Yeah, you could do whatever you wanted.
Wasn't it also a bit remodeling for the consumerism of the previous concept of social anarchism, you know, as anarchism, if we view it as that, anarchism has three big periods. One is in the 19th century in Russia, where the anarchists were anti-monarchs and were using the first bombs in the cities and trying to... They were always part of the elite, that has to be mentioned. They were also aristocrats, which were rebels, let's say. Then we have the Spanish anarchists, the anarcho-syndicalists. And this was not so en vogue after the Second World War, so they had to remodel it in order to create a new point for concentration, for the youth movement, for to control the youth movement, the wild youth after the consumerism society, which wanted everything. They wanted freedom, they wanted income without work, they wanted everything, and they had to rule them somehow. That's my understanding bit.
Okay, yeah, interesting. Yeah, it's control. Yeah, what's it?
Yes, control is a stupid word, actually, because control, nothing fulfills the parameters to be really control. Control means you have the total control over something, over a whole thing. Nobody has total control of anything. Even if the banking sector, where it is maybe the most digitalized and centralized and operated system of exchange of information, there is not one person or one entity that is able to have the control about everything. That's what they would like to have, but nobody has it. So it's one of these polarizing terms again, I think.
Am I going to agree with that? Not necessarily. I think you're absolutely right, and I agree that it's a huge machine. But really, it's independent from any one person, any individual. And it's like a machine that was created years ago, set up and running, and it's just growing and getting bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And we're just all individuals as kind of part of it, you know, a system. But actually, there are people because of the level of control that there is, there are people that can make decisions scale and control the media and everything. And that's actually what I see. I do see control. It's very much, you know, as you're identifying, I thought, you know, with the culture that they encouraged was deliberately, but to gain more control, not complete control,
yeah,
to keep some level of control. By having a punk movement.
Yeah. John Adams made a lot of analysis about the punk movement together with Mahatma Code, who I believe is also a punk musician or ex-punk musician or something.
Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah, yeah, they were students of the punk rock, yeah. I think he went with the Carry On Affair, didn't he? John Adams...
Yes, possible. I haven't seen him since then. At least, I don't know. I didn't really have much contact with him. But when John was playing guitar and Mahatma was there, it was a little bit like a pop atmosphere in room 11 or something. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But to come back to the control topic or term, let's take the media. We speak always about the media control the information. That would mean the media control actually in a negative modus. They control what does not come in the media. They control the entry.
They control both, don't they?
I would think so. I would think it's mostly that they do not control the entry, they control the outcome they produce. Power is always productive, it's not restrictive. It's productive, and it is that results in that everything that they do not prefer to be in the media doesn't have really access to it. But they do not control the access, they just produce their own content. You know what I mean? Power is a productive force.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Be generous.
What did you say?
Be generous.
Be generous.
Just yes. Trying to, I'm echoing Ab's call a few pennies.
I didn't listen, I was thinking something. But does he say be generous in the end?
Oh, no, that's just me. That's just, I'm not echoing. You're absolutely right. I wasn't echoing. I had the wrong word. I was echoing his sentiment, really. Yes, I was give money.
Yes. I think it's important that this platform exists. At least, for me, it is important.
I have got plans to actually send out a donation as soon as I make enough money to. I'll do it.
You haven't done it before?
No, but I have. No, I haven't. But
I'm impressed. Now you are here. 10 years or something, I don't know. How long are you here, Tom?
We are like old friends or something, so it's like, not that long. I suppose at one time I put so many hours and hours and hours of writing on forums and things here.
Okay.
I remember Tim saying, look, you know, you put in plenty of work anyway, you know, you helped build the site.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my position. But yeah, I must admit, now he's got the thing up there, it's like, well, you know, it'd be rude not to. So at some point, I think I'll cash. But I don't want my name up there, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's going to look stupid, isn't it?
Be generous. Be generous, man.
Now you're saying it, you're echoing me.
We are echoing each other, all of us.
Yes. Hey, look, it's not a bad idea to be generous to other people. It's one of the best things you can do, I think.
To be generous is very... To be generous, no, don't open now this door, because then we have to go very far. generosity...
You'll come back to me and say, you were done thinking like that. Yeah.
Generosity is really one of the things that normal or, let's say, poor people are restricted of. Because to be generous is actually one of the very few things in life that are really constituting grace and belief and love and all the good things that we can imagine as humans. And generosity is, per definition, in our societies, in the modern society and the postmodern societies, per definition, we are restricted of it. We cannot give what we would like to because we are restricted in our means. So we are restricted actually to give only emotions instead of giving also material, which would be good. Or we are taught that giving money is not something good because money is a dirty technology or something. But actually this is the technology. In other technologies we would give shoes or we would give flowers or we would give chocolate. And today we can give also money. Why not? It's a generosity of which we are deprived. most of us, and it is really fantastic to be able to do it.
Yes, privilege. Yes, and
the privilege of the rich, yeah.
Perspective changes, yeah, when you're poor. And the good person that you were when you were rich is maybe not such a nice man when you're poor.
Did you get that? That was upspaced.
It's easy to be generous in the land of plenty.
Are you smoking unorthodox again? That's a term in Switzerland, unorthodox. It's not a normal cigarette, it's the other.
It's about a jazz cigarette, dear, aren't you? Yes. I'm not sure I'm going to sort of put my hands up to that kind of nefarious behaviour. Yes, yes. Yeah, I got a couple of smokes tonight. You are drinking a glass of wine on this Friday?
No, I don't drink alcohol. It's many years now, 15 years or something.
Okay.
I had enough, and I thought I don't want to drink my whole life every evening wine. it's too boring. I drink tea and coffee.
Okay.
I smoke cigarettes, yes. As a Greek, I have to. It's national constituents.
Yeah. It's part of the national curriculum. Yeah, it's obligatory. Yeah, good for you. Indulge in a little. I don't drink alcohol anymore, and I haven't for about 10 years now.
Okay, let's don't make this audio now too personal, because it could be a little bit interesting for others. We can talk later in room 11 about other things. Do you want us to leave now, or do you have any other topic that we would discuss maybe?
I mean, honestly, imagine we've bored people enough. Is that the last topic? But what else is there to talk about? No, I just wonder how someone like Johnny Clues can. It's a shame because he seems a nice guy, a pleasant guy, and he came back and he said, sorry, I was a bit overreactive and, you know, sorry about that, I'm here now. But it was almost, he was on the edge of still feeling like he used to about it, almost. And then it hasn't taken much.
But I feel also guilty about that, you know, because if I didn't, if I hadn't said, I thought up is Paolo Vallo, maybe he wouldn't react like that. I don't know. So
You said you thought it was him.
No, I didn't say it to him. I just said it in one audio chat that I was doing, and it was just because I thought so. But up declined. He said, "I'm not this person." So I just had this.
You're a clever lady, but you can't tell in a second language that if that's Ab or not, I don't think.
Yeah, maybe that's the problem. I did the same with Bob, where I thought it's Chris Kendall, and I think it's my pattern recognition that overreacts sometimes. I think it is similar. The voice of Paolo Vallo is similar to Ab's and the intonation.
Yes, that now.
So
now,
you can be confused as a second language speaker or third language speaker. It's crazy.
No, it's not crazy, because I think your pattern recognition is very good. And I think there are certain things about the tone and timbre of that guy, who's Paolo, understand what you mean. Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. You can hear those kind of voice that's similar to Ab's.
Yeah. But I also understood that my distance to the society in the States, where people speak differently, they have a complete different story than I have. I try to feel close, you know, I try to recognize similarities and to feel close. And I thought, that must be up. He just wants to support Brian Staveley and he calls in. Okay, what's the problem? What's the problem? And if I'm told you are wrong, I accept it. I accept it. I'm wrong. Why? Where is the problem? So with Johnny Clues, I'm not sure that he has something, you know, which has to do with his older story, which I was listening today to one of his videos that he did, where it is a dialogue between Ab and Rolo. And Rolo, I cannot play it now because I have no inline audio possibility, only for my voice changer.
Oh, yeah, that was very cute, yeah.
Yeah. So, Rollo is saying something, and Marcus Allen, and Ab says, huh, who? Marcus Allen? Ab? I don't know who that is. You don't know Marcus Allen? I don't believe that. I don't remember, says Ab. You don't remember? No, I don't remember, and I have a good memory, you know. And Johnny Clues believes and states, because of that, that Ab is lying. So, if someone knows the story of, has listened to the story of Marcus Allen's interviews and Marcus Allen's interventions and Marcus Allen's presence on these platforms, Alternative 9/11 or whatever, then it is clear, even for me, who has not really, I have maybe 5% of knowledge of this last 6 years, what every person did and said and whatever. It is clear that he is just being sarcastic. It is not a lie. It is just something that needs another approach and another interpretation.
Yeah, yeah, I think that is clearly true. I think he had an issue with Marcus Allen, yes, which is why he was deliberately pretending to ignore him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
I think those type of misunderstandings are destructive. He should really clear that with us. And I thought he did in this interview, but then obviously he didn't. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he's too young and can't understand it, or I don't know.
I don't know. It's, but it's, yeah, it's funny when everyone, Benazir and Dusty seemed to get to have this reaction too. It was almost like a feeling of they've been completely betrayed and felt so hurt by everything. But their perspective, Dusty's perspective, I mean, Banner's perspective was naive, I think, in a lot of ways.
Please tell me, because I have never heard Banazir. I have only heard Johnny Clues till now. What are his thoughts? What was his position about topics?
Banazir was reporting about that audio with Psyopticon, who was apparently getting exposed for his voice morphing. And Banazir was saying he thought perhaps Psyopticon might be under a gun somewhere, under pressure and things or something. You know,
under what?
As if there's some kind of cut and thrust sort of espionage going on where people's lives are at risk here. You know, it was...
Okay.
Very strange when he said that.
I don't think
that perhaps he was even, you know, threatened and couldn't say something, or... I mean, I really was a bit confused by it all. It's like taking this far too seriously at this point, you know?
Yes, but what was the time then? Was it maybe, you know, because I imagine, for example, in 2004 in the United States, it might be not so easy to talk about 9/11 critically. It might be really fearful. I don't know how it was in 2012.
This was 2013, 14 or something, you know.
Yeah. But still today, actually, it is not really a topic with which you go to the bar and start discussing with your sitting next to you.
No, nobody died.
You know? Because maybe they call the ambulance.
If I start talking to a friend of mine about certain psyops and things, he suddenly, I can sense that he's starting to get a bit nervous and sort of like, no, you talk about this stuff, you know. But that was the old days for me, you know.
Do you think that Banazir was under this atmosphere of fear?
A bit, yeah. And I think perhaps that contributes to this reaction. Reaction is so strong that they feel actually that it's quite in this field of research, you know.
To be honest, Tom, with you, I haven't watched all of this stuff, but there are, I don't know, maybe 100 videos, and each of them takes really many, many hours to produce. And I think, as far as I can imagine, there is no emotion which would explain this investment in time. You know, there must be some other explanation. I cannot just believe it, that two guys are disappointed by... the fact that someone used the voice morphing and they couldn't clear it up, or he didn't confess, whatever that means. And then they start producing so many material about that. I mean, that's a little bit...
No, I know. It's overreaction. Yeah, it seems ridiculous. The voice morphing thing was weird.
It is not explainable with that template that you propose. It's not explainable with that hypothesis that they just went mad. It must have another explanation. That's what I said. The explanation is not congruent with the hypothesis and with the matter. So we need a new hypothesis.
Huh? They thought this guy, Psyopticon, was using a voice morpher.
Was he or was he not? I want to know.
No, I don't. I don't think so. No. Okay. It seemed like an absolute load of nothing. It was just a slight blemish in a voice that someone... And the person that picked it up was one of them, was Peter. And now Peter's an absolute nutter anyway. Everyone knew him to be a complete... Do you ever meet Peter? Peter Shea?
Peter Shea or something. I don't know him, but I have seen his Flat Earth videos, or one or two of them.
Bless him. Lovely old Peter. Yeah, but he... But the thing is, Psyopticon, I've been suspicious of him for some time. I really had. And it's sort of that he then had this kind of breakdown. This kind
I
of also mad.
Had a breakdown.
The audio was as if it was an all-nighter. There was an intense discussion that got very heated, and it went on for 7 hours, this audio. And at the end of it...
Yes, I think I know which one you mean. Banister and Belgrass Pub, which I listened also to. A part of it. It's impossible to listen to that. It was Kay talking, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Kay if it is there. Yeah, Kay was there. It was probably a whole setup. Do you know what I mean? It was probably like a theatre of, I don't know, what
was it? Theatre?
Role-playing, you know. I don't know. Anyway, Brannazier came out of that thinking, well, Psyopticon was terrible, the things he was talking about, and he should be banned, and, you know, Ab should take his side. But he didn't.
Ah, okay, yeah. Extremism.
Yes, Ab didn't, he said he didn't see why he should.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became a real sort of, real big issue. So at that moment it became very much a sort of, and there was quite a group of people here that sort of rallied round Banazir really, because there was a little community here at that time.
Yeah.
It was one of the original communities sort of that had grown up. Banazir and Dusty had their own show, and then...
Where is this show? Well, where can I find it?
Oh, I don't know if they've kept it anywhere in the annals.
I mean, are they on the fecologist.com website?
Used to be, but don't know if they are anymore. If they're in the forums anywhere, okay. They might be. There might be in the forums. There might be a couple of old audios posted.
But they were done here on Discord? I know that was
private. They had a show... A weekly show on, and Ab published on Fakeologist.
Okay.
And they were part of the sort of group here, and there was a little group of people here.
Yeah.
Broken up after a Sunday night when then there was an audio with Hoy and Simon were in audio with Tim.
Yeah.
A load of people on the page, you know, just posting messages to Simon and things and saying how upset they were with this Psyopticon and trying to... I think Banazir went on the audio to kind of make his case.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, and I sent messages to Simon saying...
If I may ask, because... Tom, thank you for the recapitulation, but I need to ask something because I did not understand the content of the controversy. Was the controversy... Or would you like to tell it to me? Or shall I ask with hypothesis?
Ask with hypothesis.
Okay. Do you have a better word, Tom, for me, for hypothesis? Because I hate it, this word. Can we say supposition or assumption?
Yeah, supposition, I think, is good, yeah.
Supposition, is that better? Is that a good term to create a model of thought for something?
Yes, you're musing. You're making suggestions. You're
thinking. So I will ask with suppositions. the controversy between Johnny Clues, Banazir, not Banazir Bhutto, Banazir is Dustpan, is that right?
Yes.
Banazir Dustpan.
Dusty and Banazir. There's two people, Dusty and Banazir.
Ah, yeah, but he's not the same. Uh-huh.
You can say Dustpan, and that's both of them.
Aha, and who is Johnny Clues?
Another, just a separate guy.
Are there three guys in this controversial story?
There's more than that, because more people went away, but Dusty and Banazir and Johnny Clues, they've produced videos since and things in sort of psychologist ones.
Okay, yes, I've seen that, and that's what causes my questioning, because it does not explained for me with the supposition that it is out of an emotional anger or disappointment or whatever. I will ask. The controversy was around the topic that Psyopticon was using voice morphing or was not using voice morphing? So did some people say, no, he didn't, and others said, yes, he did?
Yeah, yes, that was very much part of what what a certain portion of people were saying. He's definitely using voice morphing, and he's definitely an agent, and now he's exposed.
Moment, that's too fast for me.
Okay.
Definitely using voice morphing means definitely someone is a paid agent?
It was part of, yes. Yes, they thought...
So I understand. I make a supposition again. So the controversy was around the question if Psyopticon was an agent of the intelligence services, and the proof of the supposition that he was an intelligence operator would be that he used voice morphing. And is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So, yes, because the accusation was made to Psyopticon that he'd used this voice morphing, and then his reaction was what further implicated... Yeah. Made him seem guilty.
Yeah. Maybe.
So, yeah. So it was a combination of things, but it was very much, it started by this voice morphing idea. It was central to the detractors' basic argument, yes.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I'd already messaged Simon and Hoy saying that I thought Psyopticon was deliberately putting straw man arguments, attaching straw man arguments to my original research. So there were several. I didn't believe in any of the voice morphing, but I did think Psyopticon was an agent of the intelligence services, as you so nicely put it.
Yeah.
So, or some sort of agent, you know. I thought, or at least he was deliberately fucking around with what I was doing. I thought, no, he's doing this on purpose. Straight away, Psyopticon was then banned from Clues Forum for being exposed posting straw man arguments.
Okay.
So he was banned from Clues Forum, but then Tim didn't ban him from Fakeologist. Then Dusty and Banazir are saying, what the fuck? You know, what's going on? I think, you know, that was... I didn't understand why Tim didn't support them, the issue with Psyopticon.
Yeah. That's very complicated, and sometimes also the atmosphere, you know, the how free are the debates is also important for how the things come out. But if I may ask you about your personal estimation now, do you think that this whole controversy was artificial, or was it a real controversy that erupted between participants? Is that a good question, or do you prefer not to answer it?
Well, I don't. One has to wonder who there was playing a game.
Yeah.
You know, you have to wonder. I would definitely, as most things work, there was certainly some people there that thought it was all legit, I think. Like, I would think, I don't know. I don't think these people are agents. I don't really think of people as agents.
No. I did not ask that estimation. That's irrelevant for my thinking.
Okay.
Would like to know if you have the feeling or the estimation that it was not really a controversy around a real topic that existed and that should be solved or discussed, but it was artificial in order to create a stress or to let people go or to create suspicion or to create fear in the end.
Possibly, because it was powerful. There's something about it. You know, I mean, it moved people on this site. There was a whole group of people that left, you know, and so it had the power of something that was possibly deliberately made to stir up that here. It certainly had a powerful effect, as if someone had done it on purpose.
Do you remember how it started?
Peter. Someone had picked up, Peter Fetcher, I think, had picked up on a piece of audio of and taken a section of it and said, look, this is voice morphing, see how his voice changes.
Yeah.
His ear or something. And they just got on this idea. Agent, and they confronted him with it. And then he began to be aggressive.
Peter Shia was very aggressive.
Psyopticon was.
Mm-hmm.
He was very strange in his reaction to it.
To me, it sounds as an artificial thing or a paranoid thing. But, you know, that it lost somewhere. You know, if you have an incident, let's say someone uses voice morphing and you say, hey, you use voice morphing, you cannot prove it. The other one cannot prove that he doesn't or whatever. You can end the discussion. There is no possibility to find out something. So if it then changes the level and goes to you are an agent or you are not, that's a very serious matter. Anyone who attributes this word to someone else should think twice about and should have big arguments. So I think it was a real just a fear constructing, fear producing event in the end.
It had a good effect. It really stirred things up.
Yeah.
He was an interesting character, man. He really got into it around here for a while.
He's here on the Fecologist website. I have read lately comments of him and I don't know what the story is with Cruz Forum and whatever, but for me, it still does not sound... Okay, I was not there, I don't have the information about the whole story, only as far as I have discussed now with you and of what I have listened to, etc. It is an overreaction from all sides somehow, and it got out of control. And the result that now there is a platform on YouTube that attributes to Fecologist that he's a liar and that he's only out for money, and actually that all these other people that also are here are also not okay because they do not leave, for example, they stay with Fecologist. This result of that story does not fit for me to that story. It's a too big result for a too small supposition. It's like you tell me, hey, you're an asshole, and then I leave my country. I don't leave Discord, I just leave my country. You know what I mean? It's completely out of the dimension. It doesn't have the correct dimensions, this result. It seems to me like a plan, but this is only a supposition.
Yeah, well, it went quiet afterwards, I tell you. it went really quiet around here, and then it was just like Kayham and I was knocking around. It seemed really quiet for a little while, you know. Wow, it's changed now.
Give me 1 minute, Tom, because I have to welcome now officially the oldest and strongest defender of September Clues, Lord Rollo. You have the word.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Rollo.
Hey, Faye.
Hi,
Tommy.
Hey. It's been a long time.
Yes, it's nice to have you back, and yes. I've got a lot of audios to catch up on. I've just posted into the live stream chat what you guys were talking about before, about the voice morphing. I'm pretty sure it's all in there.
Okay, cool.
In that video that I posted, so...
But,
just put in a shameless plug for our podcast that we'll be doing tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, the Fakeologist Australian Roundtable podcast. We go usually go around 8, 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to go a little later because Tommy, do you reckon you can join us?
I should be able to make it in. At least I'll drop in for a visit.
Yeah, I spoke to Fakeologist and Maddie from Germany this morning, and I think they're going to make it. And Dave J. Who else we got lined up? Dave J. And Frank. And Frank. Frank runs karaoke on a Saturday night here, and he doesn't get home until about 11. So that probably should suit you and Dave J. Certainly, at a better time. And so it would be about 11 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time. So anyway, that's a shameless plug. I'm starting to sound like someone else who does shameless plugs of late. Who could that be?
Who is that? Who are you talking about?
It's ridiculous, man.
Australians, eh? You Australians.
Hey, Rollo, great videos you did with Frank. I watched them.
Videos with...
His buddy movie you did with Frank.
Announce. The videos.
Oh, yes. Oh, when I was down in Geelong. Yeah,
and then
was...
Remember when we took you on that trip and you met him? Sorry, I'm busy.
Did you a couple of weeks ago? Oh, because it was Remembrance Day of the 11th of the 11th.
Yeah.
And I was introducing everyone back. So the fellow up in Queensland there, what's he called? Nightly News with a K, said, lest we forget. And of course, I'm trying to interview Denny from Manchester. And I've got these gunshots going off in my head that Bella says
playing. Give him a voice changer if you interview him, because I can't understand.
We don't use voice changers. No.
To be honest,
Manchester guys, you should.
Well, a Exoteric 64 can talk like a robot. We just have a lot of fun on Saturday nights. We do discuss a little bit of media fakery, but we just... go all over the place, and
the last one you did, I liked very much, Rollo.
Wasn't the quality great? Yeah,
it was really great. Yeah, because you were talking all
name?
Through it, analyzing, and
Taste of Freedom. His name's Adam Miller, and he's done a wonderful YouTube where you look back at the 50s as the 70s. Yeah, it was called something like that.
Many interesting.
Yeah, it was really good. Yeah,
he's an artist, I think. Something.
Yeah, well, he's
or a philosopher or something.
Yeah, well, he's got a great sense of humor. I mean, he can cope with our sense. You know, we joke around at times, but then sometimes we're quite serious. It's depending, how the conversation goes. Sorry, Tom, go.
I hope you're not too rowdy, you chaps. I'm quite a little flower. Delicate little chap. Should have a laugh, hopefully.
We do get a little rowdy. I spoke to... Because the fellow over in Perth, what's his name? Noise Level, right? He's the artist that did that picture of JFK over the Twin Towers and the head explosion that's morphed into the plane explosion through the building. He did that work of art, and he's a bit rowdy, and he's a bit irreverent with some of the things he says. And you know, I love Johnny Clues to bits. That audio he did on that recent PSYOP, Oakland, or whatever it was fantastic. So, I think Noise Level might have said something that, you know, because he's kind of sensitive too. But once he gets on his own, he's really confident and he's really stringent on what he says. And he enjoyed our company on the It's been reposted, by the way, the first episode in M4A quality, which is better than the MP3 that was up there before. So, yeah, it sounds a lot better. Anyway, that's enough of my ramble. Tommy, what else is going on?
Yeah, man. I was just having a chat, Faye and I.
Mm.
I'm not sure how interesting it was, but pleasant to talk to the lady.
Oh, it's nice to reminisce about the good old days.
Good old days of Psyopticon. I was trying to explain that.
Yeah. That'll be all in that, what I put in the live stream chat. I'm sure it's all in there, that whole thing.
I was going to say, your voice actually sounds, when that Paolo guy gets going, you know, when you actually really listen to him and he went on, I thought, actually, I think that's probably you.
All right. Paolo, I can't really remember.
No, that's the latest voice form for controversy.
Don't be sarcastic, Rolo. Don't be sarcastic.
I always got told that sarcasm is the lowest form of wit, but it's not. Imitation, which is the lowest form of wit, which is voice morphing.
I didn't get it. The lowest form of what?
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
I think imitation is something good. I don't know what flattery means.
Oh, Faye, you're just the best person in the world, and we're honoured for you to be here. You know, I'm flattering you now to butter you up. I'm trying to make you feel good, you know. And you try and say that to Ab in the old days, he wouldn't have a bar of it. You go, stop it right there, because he's a consummate professional, you know.
You talk so fast, I can only understand half of it. I'm sorry for that. But you said imitation is a form of flattery. Now I get it, yeah. I agree with that, Tom.
Yes, that's an
issue. We are all imitates of something, you know. We are constructed by the society, by our thoughts, by the things that we are doing, by the things that we are leaving and not doing. We are artificial in a way, not simulated, artificial.
It's a sort of good truism, isn't it, in a sense. It's in a lot of ways, so...
The new meme is NPC. I don't know if you know what that is, Faye. That's
NPC.
That's quite interesting.
Non-player
character. Yeah, where people they just regurgitate. They don't think about what the last person said before they go on with the next thing. They're too interested in what they're going to say rather than listen to the person you're talking to, and then digest it in your mind quickly, and then make some sort of sensible comment. Or disagree or agree. You don't have to agree with everything anyone says. Like, I was going to bring all this up tonight, which I'll probably repeat myself. I mean...
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Repetition is also a good method achieving, you know, not perfection, but...
It's what politicians do. It's called neo-linguistic programming, isn't it? It's what politicians do all the time.
Actually, I have always the question, what the fuck are they doing all the time? They don't do anything.
Sitting on their fat asses getting a huge paycheck.
Yeah, they don't do anything.
Just feathering their own nests, I think is the term. They feather their own nests, and they don't give a shit about us.
Yeah.
Us plebs.
They do work for their jobs, don't they? They're just doing a ludicrous job.
Have you seen Yes Minister? You saw you must have seen Yes Minister back in the day.
Yeah.
Didn't they take the piss out of the pollies in that show? God, that's just wonderful. I've got all the DVDs of that. Yeah.
No, there's not much. Yeah, where's the good satire at the moment? I don't know.
None. If I'm going to recommend any TV shows, I would recommend maybe Black Mirror or maybe Inside Number 9. Not much else that's really cleverly written and topical, apart from those two shows. It's nothing in Australia, Tom. Nothing at all. It's just barren wasteland, mate.
It's that, what I don't like is those films that are made to order, for a psyop or something, you know, and they're just so sterile because there's no love that's gone into them. It's not... it's not a noble, creative cause. Mm. Someone's been given some money to make a film about that, and you know, with that in it, and it gets done, but it's so... There's not the love in it sometimes, and that's horrible.
Well, go, give me an example, Tom, of
what films
you're talking about. Conspiracy Theory or Wag the Dog? Is that what you're talking about?
Bats Army remake in England.
Awful.
Yeah, so they desecrated it. Do you know what I mean? That's what I felt, you know.
Can you believe that? That was what's his name? Jimmy Perry's son made that. Yeah.
After he died. The horrors of it, yeah.
You just can't just slap Bill Nighy and Toby Jones and a bunch of other actors in and expect to recreate something that was timeless and should be left alone.
Yeah, really. Yeah. I mean, you'd have to really spend ages kind of getting the characters together and the actors and everything and getting them.
Yeah.
Nah, there wasn't any love put into it. You know, get Catherine Zeta-Jones in.
Yeah.
Bung her in. Yeah, she'll look gorgeous.
And everyone knew straight away at the beginning she was the spy. It was obvious. It was... bloody hell.
Yeah.
You have to be a moron not to be able to see that, but there you go.
Well, you know. It was hopeless, I thought, that film. But that was an example of a sterile film. But they did it for Brexit, you know. We've got Brexit going on. This idea of the defending the country. You remember those arrows with the Union Jack arrows that used to point out defending the British Isles, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's this ramshackle bunch of old boys.
Yeah, well, apparently Jimmy Perry actually was in the Home Guard back in the 40s, and that's exactly how he remembered it. And he just got David Croft in there to write the joke, so they were just a perfect pairing, those two. Yeah, and they got a great cast. And, you know, you had, who's the guy that played Fraser? John Laurie, the Scot. It's doomed, it's doomed. He told them, we're doomed. And then they used that in the actual show because... It wasn't there. It was one of the most successful BBC sitcoms of all time. Most beloved, for sure.
Yeah. Godfrey.
Arnold Ridley, yeah.
I loved it. Yeah, that was good. Yeah, it's just those character actors that really made it, wasn't it? It was a special time. It was sort of post-war.
Well, there's a wonderful biopic that the BBC have done on it called Thank You for Watching. So if you ever get a chance, just go to Pirate Bay and download it. It's called Thank You for Watching, and it's a really good biopic on Jimmy Perry and David Croft and them getting the ensemble cast together, because Jimmy Perry wanted to play the Spiv. It ended up being played by James Beck, but he wanted to play the Spiv. That's why he wrote it. And David Croft said, look, we can't have you playing because everyone in the ensemble cast will think you're getting the best jokes. And it really upset him that he didn't get the Spiv character, but I think it worked out for the best. You got a better show for it.
Yeah,
you get jealousy, you know, jealousies and all of that. You can imagine. I remember Clive Dunn saying the first thing, every time he got a new script, he'd open it, he'd look for laughs, all his laughs. That's the first thing, because everyone's selfish for laughs when you're in a comedy and you don't want to be left out. You want the howlers.
Who do you think?
Think you were kidding, Mr. Hitler? You remember Bud Flanagan, who sung that? He died a month after singing it. Never got to hear it fully produced.
Probably killed him. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was a good record. It was a good song. He said good singing.
Mm.
But, didn't get much of a punch.
Mr. Brown goes off to town on the 821. When he comes home each evening, and I'm trying to do it with a shaky voice. So who do you think you are?
How do you get to the point where you finally wake up in the morning shaky?
I'm just trying to do the shaky voice because he was quite old and infirm at the time when he sang it. Yeah,
you're trying to do the shaky.
He was a famous singer in the 40s. So that's why they got him. Yeah.
Mr. Brown is coming in on the 831.
You're doing good.
Yeah, I'll be dumb.
Leave my bum out of this.
Well, that's, I wasn't thinking of yours. But yeah, no.
Oh, I was. Did you see the hidden fakeologist during the week? I thought this was one of the amusing things of the week.
Intellectual conversation with Faye.
Sorry, I'll leave you guys. I'm taking over. I'm sorry. I'll be quiet. I'll go to mute.
Oh, no way. I was listening. It was interesting.
Yeah, no, it's lovely listening to Paolo, you know, talking.
Who's that?
Paolo. Oh, sorry. Didn't you know Paolo is Rolo?
Ah, I was actually again researching this hypothesis, a supposition that I have. back to 9/11, there is this interview with Mark Walsh, the Harley guy.
Okay, yeah. in the building because of the heat of the
yes,
fire.
Yeah, because the fire was too intense. besides that, it is obviously, of course, fake, this interview. It would be interesting to have more information or to try to find out if we have indices that it could be produced on the ground, because we could have then the possibility to compare several imagery that we know that is fake. And that's why I was just, you know, looking actually, because I've never been to Manhattan, but I was looking that the interview Mark Walsh was taken at the corner. Original Simulant helped me to find where this is. It is corner Church Street and Murray Street. And if it would be on the ground, it could be, for example, there would be a good question to find out where the other interviews possibly could be on the ground. This Zuccotti interview, I don't know this. I don't know the places, I don't know the names, but it's just also a supposition that if it is like that and the border of the closed down lower Manhattan part would be the Murray Street, then the interviews or other scenes that were taken on the Murray Street and further to the north would be real. And the other ones taken further to the south would be in prior produced, something like that. And I'm trying to put an image into the 9/11 Media Fakery stream where it is shown that the Murray Street is really very good for that purpose, because on the other side of the City Hall Park, there is the New York City Police Department, there is this big Brooklyn Bridge and the streets that go into the city, which were closed, as we know. They were anyway closed, also according to the official narrative. So, just saying what I was doing while you were talking, and that's why I did not listen to the Paolo, or what did you say now, Tom?
Oh, it's all right. Yeah, no, I was just playing with that because that Paolo guy is the person that Ab was supposed to sound like.
But he said he's not this guy, so I think it's finished.
Yes, which is why I'm just making jokes about it.
Ah,
yeah,
okay.
I said I think it's actually Rolo.
could be.
Yeah, and I think
impersonating Ab, not so successfully.
The Harley guy is Dave J, I think.
There's a bump. I have no idea how Dave J looks, because there are some pictures around, but how can I be sure that this is really Dave J? I don't know. I think, for example, Dave J is Randy J from the Boiler Room. That's imagination, you know, pattern recognition.
We had Villa said here. Now we go. That's a lie. That's a lie. You play Dave Day. That's a lie.
That's a lie. I am a witness. I'm a false witness to fakery or to whatever. Hey, Rolo, why did John Le Bon stop talking to you? Or did I understand that wrong?
Oh, I just had a bit of a falling out, I guess. I don't know. John Le Bon wrote a comment. Denny from Manchester wrote a comment on one of his videos. And John Le Bon wrote, yeah, well, I'll come over to UK and we can meet up and have a beer, as long as Rollo's not there. I thought that was a bit unnecessary.
Oh.
But
he
seems to have an issue with me. I don't know why. And he says, I won't listen to our podcast because I'm there. It's all got rather personal. I don't know why. I'm gone out of my way to, we have a bit of a laugh with him. Like, you guys are all members of the Hoaxbusters Discord server, aren't you?
Yeah.
You guys all members?
Yeah.
Like, he's not making himself any friends over there. He's Even Uninstall Media said you're only interesting, and all the others, TG and Dr. Mindbender or whatever, are saying you're like an annoying pop-up ad. It's just getting sick of him.
I read it, Rollo, but to be honest, I think John Le Bon was quite polite in that commentary, and the others were really rude, to be honest. They have a prejudice against him. It's obvious, but...
Yeah. Well, I think maybe it's... Sorry. I think it's a lot to do with... John is trying to make an enterprise out of this thing, and I don't blame him for that. I mean... I praised him for it on the show a few weeks back and said, good luck to you for it. Maybe what Ab's doing is the voluntary method where you pay if you can or pay if you want to. And Ab doesn't ask for much. He only asks for $1.19 a month. I think John Le Bon's asking for $20 a month. Markets now. Go, Tom.
Got to allow for the exchange rate, you know. The Aussie dollar is different from a Canadian. Sorry, but
is it?
Pedant, yeah.
Just a minute. Australian dollars, Canadian dollars, and American dollars are not the same.
No.
There is no empire. You are not the Five Eyes.
But yeah, I say, you know, it's a little bit of a falling out with John. Hey, it's a different sort of thing, isn't it? Yeah. Their thing. John's a monkey. The thing, he's polite enough, isn't he? What do you think of John? Do you like John? Do you mind him being around?
Are you asking me or Rollo?
Hey.
I have not talked enough with John Le Bon. There is something in between me and him. Maybe it's only from my side. I feel he is too young, too ambitious, too passionate about his stuff, and I cannot follow. I cannot really talk in such an atmosphere. He's trying to prove his thesis right, which is legit. It's not the thing that I am looking for in discussions. I'm more a searcher, or I'm looking more for inspirational thoughts of others, not of results. But I think it is legit what he does, and he's transparent in what he does. Unless he's paid from some media, I don't know if that's the case. I think Dave J, was it, or was it this A.A. Morris who said...
Dave J. Oh. A.A. Morris. They're all Asians, aren't they?
The Flat Earth Skeptics Roundtable was an initiative of some Australian media, and he made this as a project for those. I think this is also legit. It is a job. Most jobs today of intellectuals are in the media in one way or the other. I would not blame him for that. I just would appreciate it to be transparent. And I think he is transparent, actually. I don't go to his side because I'm not so interested in this topic. He's too much in the direction of the mystical analysis of psyops, and that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for
John Le Bon.
Eat. Pardon? Yeah.
Oh, okay. To the psyops, they're just various things are interesting to me.
Yeah. Tom? Got lost in the Do you have to prepare unorthodox things?
Yes, well, I have been doing quite a lot of studying lately, but...
Yeah.
Of just researching things and looking over things, but I've voiced them really. And I don't want to be boring and say the same things again. Mm. And an audio in recent days, and it was. And I didn't think I hadn't listened to it back. I hate it. Do you listen to yourself back on these audios?
Oh yes, I do, because I want to know what I said, because when I'm speaking, I don't control myself all the time.
I did listen to one audio that you and I did.
To be honest, I am afraid every time that I make an audio. In the beginning, it was more because of the language, because I couldn't speak as fast as I can do now, for example. As that means also a freedom if you do not have to look up every word. And for myself, it's now satisfying to speak somehow a little bit. But I am afraid to to listen now to my audios, because I always think, oh shit, I surely said something wrong here or something bad there or made some accusation or made some implication or whatever, you know, which I would not like to have done. So, you know, I don't want to do things that disable discourse or that hinder discussions or that make others affected by negative emotions. I would like to be constructive. That's what I... Well, yeah, and yes, I'm listening to myself.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I that's what I want. When I listen back, I want it to be something positive in a way and uplifting to come out of it with audio sometimes. And but interesting, genuinely interesting. And I sometimes cringe to listen back when it's just not doing anything fling, like perhaps I am now.
Rollo, please step in because Tom is tired.
Fakeologist.com.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist audio chat on Fakeologist.com.
And you could be listening to another hour of Fart Podcast. .com.
Ah, FART, yes, I like the acronym.
Yeah, we've got to thank Danny from Manchester for that. He came up with that one. It was good.
Cool.
Yeah.
I will shamelessly plug our show because we do have the best producer in the world, Velocet. That's nothing against Ab. I mean, Ab's old shows where he played sound bites and that. But Ab only does this sort of as a hobby. He's not a professional radio guy, whereas Velocet is a professional radio producer, and that's why the shows sound so good. And we have so much fun. Like, I'll just give you an example. Like, if someone brings up something like, I think Taste of Freedom, Adam Miller brought up Get Off My Plane by Harrison Ford, within like 2 seconds, Velocet has the audio and bang, plays it, and things like that. And it makes the show a lot more fun, I think.
Yeah. Okay. But you're continuing here? You're not leaving the platform or something? I mean, Velocet and you and the others that are doing this other, let's say, outlet?
I mean, this new venture satisfies part of your yen to be in show business roles, doesn't it? It's you've got a weekly show now, and you can really let your hair down.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Velocet wouldn't do it, put all the hard work in, if what we were doing isn't interesting and factual and
betterment of mankind.
Yeah, that's what we're here to serve mankind, I think. betterment. Sorry, betterment. Sorry.
Sorry.
Okay.
Of course. Yes. Well, exactly.
Exactly. And the more, the merrier. So. We had, who did we have on the first show? We had Johnny Clues, lovely Rachel, Gaia is never boring, and plus we did that whole little conspiracy where I rang John Laws and spoke about 9/11, and then Joel came in and called me a coke fiend and doesn't know what he's talking about, and then did the Dave J switch on him, and that's very fun to listen to, if you... If you ever,
maybe I missed that because I don't remember Guy.
I do not believe. Yeah, you get in trouble if you prank call old Ben.
Old John Laws. Yeah. Well, he wouldn't take my call last week because he was cranky with me.
I don't blame him.
do you call him more than one time, Rollo?
I've got a call ready to go tonight. If you guys call. You guys come in.
We must love you.
Tell us again the name of your show, please, Rollo, so that we can notice it. At the time, of course. When do you start?
I'll make sure that I tell Velocet that I've spoken to you too. I'm pretty sure Tommy's already set to come on. But I'll get Velocet. What he likes to do is PM you. And then what he does then, you go into the lobby here at Fakeologist. And then he drags you into his recording studio. That's the way it works. And then we introduce you, and then you're part of the... Do you know the way... try and explain it, Tom. The Graham Norton show. You get a guest on, right? And then
okay.
when that,
and then you get another one yeah. on the side for next to him, and then you join the rest of the guests, yes, and then you all gather sort of, yes, as if on a sofa together.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's why I understand that. That's why I understand.
Yeah, you just stack up the people. You just bring them into the room to join the others one by one until there's four of you, say, in the room together over the course of the interviews.
Yeah. So you give the latest one a bit more airtime and let them say what they need to say and then shuffle them up, then add someone else in. And then eventually everybody gets relaxed with each other and basically just have a back and forward and just...
And then just go upstairs and make love. Yeah. Get your keys. Oh, sorry, it's not that.
Oh, Tom, you are really unbelievable.
I'm terrible. You don't even know
child
me.
Child of the 60s. Are you 57,
man.
Tom, or 58, 59 born? End of 50s?
Isn't it rude to ask a man his age? It's okay to ask a woman their age.
No, I'm asking the generation, not the age, the exact age.
No, I was born. No, no. You think I'm old? You think I'm an old man?
No, I think you are 60.
you well, that's fair enough.
10, 12 when the 60s were, or 15 or something.
Really? Yeah, I'm 60? Would you think I'm 60, Rose?
I know exactly how old you are. You've told me many times.
Yeah. No,
I don't want
to know
if you're younger than 60.
No, look, I'm 51, so I was born in 67.
67, okay, yeah, that's too late for the 60s, sir.
I just have to remember that Tom's got 3 years on me. That's all I have to remember. So whatever age I am, well, I'm still kicking, I'm still drawing breath, you'll always be 3 years older than me, Tom.
So if you don't feel good, you can just talk a little bit with Tom and see that, wow, I am young.
Yeah, he'll always be a young boy when he's with me, yeah.
As young as Velocet, though. Velocet seems to be beyond his... Sorry, go, Faye. Okay.
No, I just wanted to ask, are you interested in discussing something more? Because I am a little bit tired. And if we are just hanging out, it's also very enjoyable for me, but I would prefer to go to sleep.
All right.
But if, yeah,
but
would that be
we'll
okay
see
you?
Say, wait for your PM tonight, and yeah, come and join us. You're more than welcome, and certainly you, Tom.
Thank you very much. I will
penciled in.
Actually prefer to listen to you when it airs, when it is published, because I cannot stay up that late.
But it doesn't. We're not going for another 12 hours.
It's midday. Yeah. It's middle of the day tomorrow in European time. It's like 1 o'clock.
It's European time, 1 o'clock. Ah, now I get it. I thought it's in the night. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much, Rolo.
Yes, cheers, Faye. Thanks
for
the
Tom. Bye bye. See you.
See you, Faye. See you, Tommy. Tommy, you gonna. Yep. We'll just say. Au revoir. Let's just say au revoir.
A tutelaire, as they say en France.
Yeah, so just hang around on your Discord, and when you get your PM, yeah, have fun.
Come on. I'll see you tonight.
Have fun. All right, mate.
Yeah. Yep. All right, cheers.
Take care. Bye.
This is Just Saying Dude, and I am speaking to you from New Zealand, and I'm telling you that if you want to get the real oil, you need to listen to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.